answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
A crabby New Yorker is picking a fight with Texas. Deputy Mayor Eric Adams, he's suing Texas bus companies for $708 million for the migrant crisis. His sanctuary city, they can't seem to handle.
Governor Abbott's continuing use of migrants as political pawns is not only chaotic and inhumane, but makes clear he puts politics over people. Today's lawsuit should serve as a warning to all those who break the law in this way.
He's just mad that he has to pay for his stupid policies, Sean. Let's put this into perspective for him, since he seems to only view the world through the lens of his New York City bubble.
No doubt. Since August 2022, the state of Texas has bused less than 34,000 migrants to New York City. So you want to know how many migrant encounters the southwest border has seen since then? That'd be 3 million.
3 million? That was a Fox report, and including New York City Mayor Adams and his lawsuit, going to start making the state of Texas pay them $704 million so far and more to come for all the illegals you're shipping up. 34,000 shipped up there by Texas out of 3.4 million just since April, I think was the date they stated. August 2022. That's a big difference. 34,000 illegals shipped from Texas to New York City area into New York City itself since August 2022. And during that same period of time, the encounters at the border were 3.4 million. And they never have understood exactly what was involved at the border, because those at the border are living with this every day. The Arizona crossing, they had to shut down for a while. Too many were coming up, and folks were stuck on the southern side only because they just couldn't handle getting them through. Then even when they got them through, then they couldn't get them gathered around enough where they could take a full account and do, you know, alleging, I mean, to do some kind of determination of who they were, where they originated. Basic vetting. Can't do it. Quentin reminded me that that amount that they've sent to New York is 100 times the amount in Texas compared to what they sent to New York. Thanks for doing the ciphering, Quentin. I couldn't come up with it fast enough. You have to be a rocket scientist. You do, not me. But he's right. Here's Mayor Adams complaining for how many illegals have come into his city as shipped there by the Texas governor since August of 2022, 34,000, and 100 times that amount have been apprehended at the border of Texas. I still say I like my idea of putting alligators in the Rio Grande Valley, I mean in the Rio Grande River. They can thrive there. There are a lot of varmints and so forth they can gather up, snakes, rats, other rodents, coyotes, and I'm talking about the animal. I should have said coyotes because that's really what they should be called, the four-legged or coyotes. Coyotes are the two-legged who help move people across the border. I know the stories of Wile E. Coyote. It's just part of a cartoon because it worked, Wile E. Coyote, but technically a coyote is what you refer to it, at least we do in Texas, and coyote is the one who's gathering people up to take them across the border, also known as drug cartels and so forth. Thanks for joining us again. Here we are, January 5, 2024. This is the second hour of two of Larry Connors USA. We're here for you Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when on the air, we're also streaming video. You can see it You watch the program now or pull it up later at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, or News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. And if you miss any of them, they're always available as a podcast, video, and or audio at LarryConnorsUSA.com. Now, thank you for your support. So these sanctuary cities have opened up the door to have this happen anyway. They basically set it up because they thought it was a good idea. And you remember when they started doing this, in California in particular. They started there. We're going to be a sanctuary state. If you're an illegal and you can get to our state, we're not going to bother you unless you commit some crime. And even then, we probably won't do much to you. But we won't be asking, do you have a driver's license? Do you have a proof that you're an American citizen? Anything like that. So a lot of them were going there and into the cities of Chicago. I mean, into San Francisco, Los Angeles, the other cities in California. And then, of course, some wanted to go into Chicago because the state of Illinois became a sanctuary state and Chicago became a sanctuary city. And then New York State and New York City. And they all wanted, we welcome migrants. They want to call them migrants. And anybody that was against them, you're considered to be racist. And you forget that our nation was founded on immigration. No, I don't forget that. But it was founded on legal immigration. And while all of these folks are coming across the border, 300,000 plus, just in December, there are untold numbers that are still waiting for a chance to enter the country legally. They have to wait for a lottery number to come up or whatever the process is and wherever they are in it, or a family member to get a sponsorship paper through, completed, so they can come legally. But right now, all the immigration officers are tied up with the illegals. So those on the wait list are waiting even longer. Let me put it to you this way. You're standing in line to get burgers for you and your family. And there's been a long line, and they don't have a lot of help. But you're waiting, and you're waiting. And just as you get ready to walk up and be the next person, 12 other people jump in front of you. Would you take kindly to that? I don't think you would. But are you going to have a fist fight or something there at the burger joint over that? You may not. But right now we've got those who can and are trying to come in the country legally, and all their paperwork is stalled out. Don't have people to work on it. Chicago, one of those who that decided we would become a sanctuary city, I want you to listen to a report from a Chicago Fox TV station, and this was 3 months ago.
The migrant crisis shows no signs of slowing down. As of this morning, roughly 9,000 migrants are being housed in shelters across the city, with another 2,000 camped out in places like this. We're outside of District 19. Police headquarters are also camped out at airports. And now, with no end in sight, there's a new effort underway to let voters, taxpayers themselves, decide whether Chicago should remain a sanctuary city.
Nobody has ever asked the voters, the people who actually pay taxes and vote here in the city of Chicago, if they want to remain a sanctuary city.
Ninth Ward Alderman Anthony Beal wants to change that, with migrants continuing to arrive to Chicago by the busload.
Let's let the people decide. Let's not be afraid of putting something on the ballot.
He's talking about the March primary ballot, which he wants to include the question, should Chicago keep its sanctuary city designation? The influx of migrants is expected to cost Chicago taxpayers $255 million by the end of this year.
Now, again, that was 3 months ago, so still in 2023, and talking about a ballot issue for this coming March. But here's what happened. One other alderman in a report last night on a Fox News channel, America Reports, Chicago Alderman Brian Hopkins acknowledged that, yeah, we were trying to put a referendum on the ballot in March to ask the voters, do you want to be a sanctuary city? The mayor the mayor and his team blocked that effort. So we don't know if there's political will to continue being a sanctuary city. He said, I will say our status as a sanctuary city first was established way back in the 80s. This is not new. We put this flag in the ground a long time ago. No one at that time had any idea it would lead to this today. This was completely unpredicted. It's completely unprecedented. And are you listening? Are you listening? Nobody thought a sanctuary city would mean what it means. Well, what the hell does it mean? You get free ice cream? They didn't take any of that in consideration when they did it back in 1980. And they continued to maintain it and cry it from the highest building they could find. Sears, whatever tower. Say, we're a sanctuary city, come here. No, not so much. Brett Baer of Fox News had Mayorkas on and talking about how the immigration issue is way out of control.
Would it be surprise you to hear that CBP sources say that currently they are releasing more than 70% of the migrants crossing every day, and sometimes more than that number, higher than 70%? Would that surprise you?
It would not. It would not surprise me at all.
But you do think it's a crisis now?
Brett, it is a challenge that we have been addressing vigorously with all of the tools and resources that we have been provided.
Oh, no, it's not a crisis. It's a challenge. Huh. And you know who's paying the price of the challenge? That would be you. Congressman Matt Rosendale of Montana was one of the Republicans that went down. This was his fourth trip to the border. But he went along with Speaker Johnson and others to the border just recently. And he said, This time I heard something was really frightening.
The CBP told us that there were about 200 people contained, involved with that group of 10,000 that were folks of special interest. These are folks that were coming from other countries that they just don't have enough background information on, that they were trying to do additional vetting, additional research on, so that they can make a determination whether they could expel them or should expel them from the country immediately. And they were just whisked up with the rest of that 10,000, that group of 10,000, and redistributed around our country. We have people coming into our country illegally every day looking to do us harm. This is an imminent national security threat. And so I tell all of my colleagues, we see the problems. The people across the nation have seen this exposed every single evening on the news. What are you willing to do to protect our country? And I think that this is a big enough issue that we should be talking about closing down funding for the federal government until our border is secure.
And I hope they hold to that. But you also have to keep in mind, if they don't control the House, that opportunity goes away anyway. My guest last hour, Laura Reese of the Heritage Foundation, says, judging by the past, you're going to see some of these Republican senators get a little weak-kneed and back away from holding fast. Shame on them if they do. Al Sharpton, always looking to be relevant, jumping on the Harvard president being ousted because of the testimony and, of course, the plagiarism. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy says Sharpton is entitled to his opinion, but you know Senator Kennedy has his own view.
Dr. Gay, of course, has resigned. She should have. I bear her no ill will. My advice to her, for what it's worth, is that when one door closes, sometimes you need to get a hammer and some nails and make sure that SOB stays shut, because Dr. Gay had no business running a university. The plagiarism allegations against her are serious. I think most Americans found repugnant her suggestion, express or implied, that it might be okay to kill Jewish people in the proper context.
No, that was never good, was it? And the plagiarism issue. I said the last hour, I'll say it again, she should be stripped of her doctorate. because she was using plagiarism even while writing and preparing the dissertation for her doctorate. Take it away from her. They're not going to do it. And Senator Kennedy points out they're missing the entire purpose of what Harvard and other universities and colleges, all schools, should be doing.
My biggest quarrel with Dr. Gay is that she does not understand the purpose of a university. The purpose of a university is to make young people think, not to make them comfortable. The discussion of ideas should not be closed off. There's not only one point of view. If you want to believe that math is racist and merit is privilege, or that men can breastfeed, this is America, you're entitled to believe that. But other students who disagree should feel free to disagree. And the truth is that every advancement, every single one in art, science, philosophy, technology, cooking, golf, came when someone challenged the rules, challenged dogma, and said there's a better way. And that's what our universities should encourage instead of just one point of view, which I think Dr. Gay was guilty of.
Absolutely. He's absolutely right about that. But, of course, she's got her defenders, and that would include Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton and his group, what do they call themselves this time? National Action Network, decided to hold a protest and picket outside billionaire Harvard alum's location, Bill Ackman, because he was criticizing her and said she should go. And Sharpton was saying Ackman is trying to solve the problem in Harvard and other places, trying to kill DEI, and he asked for the entire board to resign. The issue is not just about what they did to this president of Harvard University, who was the first black and first black woman. It's about they used her as a scapegoat to fight DEI, diversity, exclusion, equity, and inclusion. Yeah, we want it all out. Yeah, I make no bones about it. I want it all out. And I don't care if she was black, brown, yellow, or red, as long as she could meet the qualifications. But apparently she couldn't do that. But Al Sharpton is saying this is a war against all of us, trying to get rid of DEI. Well, John Kennedy, Senator of Louisiana, has reaction to that remark.
America is not perfect, but we are good. Like every other civilization, America caught the disease of slavery, but we beat it back, and we're proud of that. And since then, we passed civil rights laws in 1866, 1871, 1875, 1960, 1964, 1968, 1990, 1991. We made a lot of racial progress in this country, and I think we've reached the point where most, not all, but most Americans don't think about that much about race. They think about character. They understand, as I've said before, that to a bear, we all taste like chicken.
We all taste like chicken. But to Al Sharpton, everything is color. Everything. Coming up, my guest is going to blow the minds of those green enthusiasts out there. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
It's been a very busy year for Wellington Environmental. Tom and his staff had traveled all over making sure that minor issues don't become major disasters. Then there are the times Wellington is called in for emergencies, but nothing Wellington hasn't seen before. They have certified inspectors, chemists, scientists, environmental planners, and that's just some of their expertise. That is why the St. Louis Business Journal gave Wellington such a high ranking. So what will 2024 bring? No one knows, but if you take time to visit the Wellington Environmental Facebook, you're going to see things that might explain health issues at your home or business affecting you, your family, clients. Wellington Environmental Facebook. Tom Wellington and the entire staff wish you a blessed 2024. Your world, cleaner, better, safer. So, As always, be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
No, you guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for us covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local? Really good.
News Talk STL at 1019 941 and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Ackerman Toyota had a great 2023, so Jay asked me to thank you for all of your support. Loyal customers making Ackerman Toyota number one in St. Louis Toyota sales. Number one out of the 75 Toyota dealers in the region in Camry and Corolla sales. Ackerman has the lowest prices, great selection. Visit Ackerman at Hampton and 44 or online, AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
This is News Talk STL.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
No place to hide if you're trying to avoid the green push in your face. But my next guest is offering you a way to fight back. Gregory Wrightstone, author of a new book, A Very Convenient Warming, How Modest Warming and More CO2 Are Benefiting Humanity. Gregory, welcome aboard.
Oh, good to be on with you. Yeah, there's a lot to go over, and they're imposing more and more regulations on all of us.
I guess I should make it very clear to you, though, because I really liked Al Gore's An Inconvenient Truth. I thought that was true fact from then on, that we should all be dead by now. saying that with my tongue stuck so far in my cheek, I don't know if you can even hear me. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite, it was inconvenient, but it wasn't the truth. My first book, Inconvenient Facts, really took on the many lies that he spewed. And it was this first book of mine was just hugely successful. In fact, it was number one bestseller for better part of 6 years off and on. And this new book was just published this week. You're one of the first hosts to be talking about it.
Well,
we were very happy.
I'm glad to have it, because when Gore came out with that, and of course then they had a documentary built around it all back in 2006, and The Inconvenient Truth basically was that we were going to die if we didn't follow their lead, and while he was jetting around the world and leaving his carbon footprint everywhere. And then of course then you came out with your first book that tried to counter that. And I'm glad you had the success you did with it. This new book, this is something I'd raise the other day with the audience, that CO2 is not bad for our planet. It's an essential part of our planet. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I've been talking over the last few years, I've been stating quite forcefully that there is no climate crisis, and there isn't. But I've moved beyond that with this new book. It's not just that there isn't a climate crisis. The fact of the matter is, by almost every metric we look at, Earth's ecosystems are thriving and prospering, and the humanity is benefiting. The human condition is benefiting from modest warming, which is what we're seeing, and more CO2. And it should be celebrated. I call this the greatest untold story of the 21st century, this planet and ecosystems that are thriving and prospering. And we should celebrate that. Probably the greatest, easiest way to point this out is just look at agriculture. When we look at agricultural production, in the new book, I look at the top eight crops in terms of tonnage produced. And each one of those top eight crops are breaking records year after year after year in productivity. And why is that? And it's because partly from modest the warming means we have longer growing seasons. In fact, in the lower 48 in the United States, growing seasons have lengthened more than 2 weeks since 1900. That's a good thing.
But they would tell you that's going to cause the glaciers to melt, and we're going to have a sea rise. If the temperature of the sea increases 1.2 degrees Celsius, we're going to be all flooded out.
No, that's not quite. Yeah, that's what they'll tell you, but that's not quite the fact. It is true that the warming does mean the glaciers are retreating.
Sure.
And it does mean that sea level is rising, but it's at 7 inches per century. That's hardly alarming.
Yeah. When Obama bought that $14 million mansion at Martha's Vineyard around the ocean, I thought, well, there went that argument. He's not worried about being flooded out.
Well, if we look at sea level rise, I use the Mount Deaves, which are, the UN says it's the most at-risk island chain in the world. It's the highest point's 14 feet above sea level.
Right.
So it was just saying it's the reason, well, they'll be underwater soon. Well, no, they won't. But you may not realize it. 15,000 years ago, the Maldives were also just above sea level. And in the last 15,000 years, sea level has risen 400 feet. Why aren't these islands 400 feet underwater?
Mm.
It's because it's a natural process known as accretion. It's a geologic process. It's where these islands actually grow and accrete as the sea level rises. The near shore sediments, the gravels, the sands are washed up onto the island, and the island gradually grows along with sea level.
Yeah, I want to give the audience some of your background, because I quickly got into the subject of the book. But for the audience, Gregory Wrightstone is a geologist. He's a geologist. He's the executive director of the CO2 Coalition, Arlington, Virginia, expert reviewer for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, and as we were saying earlier, best-selling author of Inconvenient Facts, which countered Al Gore. But I saw a National Geographic special recently. They were talking about the deforestation that was taking place. We're losing all these forests, are being cut down and so forth. But now they're showing new satellite photos show they've all been reborn, basically, and coming back. And that CO2 layer, anyway, is getting us protection from the sun and harmful rays. Correct?
Well, it's really the ozone that protects us.
Well,
from
the ozone. I said CO2.
CO2, though, is a greenhouse gas, and it provides some warming, although it's modest, and the amount per molecule is saturated. So increasing CO2 doesn't mean that we'll continue increasing the warming at the rate that we had. But the point here is that what we need to look at is that CO2, as you state, is beneficial. And what we see is actually, we're not seeing worldwide deforestation. We're seeing reforestation.
Right.
That globally forests are expanding, not receding. But when they are, where they are being cut down, what are they being cut down for? Solar, I almost called them farms. Don't call them farms. They're industrial facilities. And wind turbine, industrial scale facilities. They've cut down hundreds of thousands of mature trees in Scotland by itself. They're cutting down mature forests in the Carolinas to be turned into wood pellets and shipped to the United Kingdom, where they're called green energy when they're burning those wood pellets over there. And that's okay. Cut down the forest for that. And there's also huge amounts of the Southeast, the Philippines, and Indonesia being cut down to be replaced with a monoculture of palm oil trees for biofuel. So the danger here is really this so-called clean energy that's destroying our forests where they are. But luckily, most of the forests globally are expanding.
I've got an extensive piece in our next segment that I wanted to tie into you, and that is all the green energy waste that's being overlooked by the climate agenda, because you mentioned the turbines, the blades had to be replaced, and the EV cars are pushing on everybody. The batteries, and first of all, getting the minerals to do it, then processing it, then replacing your battery when it goes out. So everything that folks are worshiping around the green altar, if they'd step back and just look at it and assign, because they tell us, look at the science, you're a geologist, you're saying right now this is all good for us and we should be celebrating where we are in the world at this point.
Oh, absolutely. One of the second section of 3 sections of the book, I deal with the strong relationship between human history and climate history. And I find it just absolutely fascinating to learn this, the relationship. We see that the past warm periods were warmer than today, and they were hugely beneficial. Great empires and civilizations rose up during those warm periods. And it was the cold periods. When it started getting cold, it led to horrific consequences. Each time it got cold, we had crop failure, famine, pestilence, and mass depopulation. So they're telling us, oh, we can't let it get a degree and a half warmer or we're all going to die. But that's not what history tells us. They call me a science denier when I'm really, I use science. And but I would call them history deniers because they're denying actually what happened in human history.
Absolutely. MSNBC is one of those that's been quoted that if Trump is elected, climate change will end the earth. So now they want to try to tie politics to climate change, which all of it is anyway. And to me, Al Gore and John Kerry and the rest of them, they're grifting off of telling and selling a lie that you're going to, the whole world will come apart in the next 10, 15, 20 years. Oh, if they have to adjust the date again, well, they're off about 100 years, maybe.
Well, I don't think they're not going to ever get to what they're claiming is going to happen. Supposedly, the entire Arctic was to have melted by now.
Right.
But let me tell you a little secret. We could melt the entire polar ice cap, and it wouldn't have anything to do with sea level. And you're probably going, what? And the reason is this northern polar ice cap is floating on water. And anytime ice floating on water, you can melt it. It does nothing to the level. You can do that experiment at home tonight with a glass of water.
Well, now one thing I want to raise, because I know I'm hearing it already in my ear from the audience shouting, but the polar bears and all those who are thriving and live on the polar caps.
Well, polar bears population has more than doubled. They're at around 33,000 now, where they were down around 15,000 back in the 1980s. A lot of that had to do with stopping the hunting of the polar bears, but polar bear populations have been growing. In fact, they're growing so much that they're a danger in some of the areas of Norway and northern Canada, with the Inuits being in danger from too many polar bears.
I'd like to schedule you back for another time, because there's so much I want to cover here with you. And again, folks, Gregory Wrightstone, the book is called A Very Convenient Warming. Just remember that, A Very Convenient Warming, and how modest warming, more CO2 are benefiting humanity. Gregory, I'll give you the last 20 seconds, sir.
Don't worry about a little warming and more CO2, both are benefiting humanity. We should celebrate that and enjoy it.
Sleep well, no climate crisis, right?
Exactly.
Gregory, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you.
We'll do it again. Well, as I'd mentioned, all these who are pushing all these plans on us, there's a lot of green waste, and getting rid of it is not easy, but they want to ignore that part of the story.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Vincent's Jewelers carries a full selection of lab-grown diamonds and jewelry containing lab-grown diamonds. Lab-grown diamonds are a great alternative to natural mined diamonds. They have the same physical, chemical characteristics of a traditional diamond, beauty, durability you want, but at a 70 to 90% discount. See them in person at Vincent's and at vincentsjewelers.com. vincentsjewelers.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
One of the five most traumatic experiences in life is moving. I can assure you that McGuire Moving can help ease that pressure. Moving into a new home or a new business, locally, internationally, McGuire is rated number one. More than 80 years of experience. Free estimate, call McGuire, 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. I want to let you know that before I wrap up this hour, I'm going to turn to be a movie reviewer, or not really a movie. Yeah, it is a movie reviewer, a TV show. Anyway, I'm going to tell you about something I just saw. It's apparently been around for a long time, and I just didn't have time, didn't catch it or whatever, but, well, I'm an idiot. Yeah, there's that. There's that too. But beyond that, it's so interesting. I thought I got to share this with you. If you haven't seen it, you should, and then you can let me know your thoughts. That's coming up before we wrap up this hour. But we were talking a moment ago in Gregory Wrightstone in his book, A Very Convenient Warming, as to the green altar people and how they keep shoving all this agenda on us. And there's an issue that they're missing. The credit for this piece goes to Epoch Times, and the writer is Autumn Spreadman, I think. I hope I'm pronouncing it correct. This is right to point of everything they're pushing on us and how bad it goes. You heard my guest mention that when they talk about cutting down some of these forests, what they're doing is they're putting in solar panels. You remember the piece from Yellowstone, if you've ever watched that TV series, where now he is the governor, and he's got some little bureaucrat in there telling him that they need to save the sage grouse. That's a little bird, basically, grouse that lives up under the sagebrush in their state. And they say, but we also want to get some more use of our sun, since we get so much of it here, we will put solar panels in. Well, what are you going to do? We're going to put them in all the land, that we can occupy. Well, how are you going to get them in there? There's a sagebrush there. Well, we'll cut the sagebrush down to put the solar panels in. He said, so let me get this straight. You're going to try to save the sage grouse, but you're cutting down the sage grouse's habitat to put in solar panels. What happens to the sage grouse? Oh, well, we hadn't really considered that. Get out of my office, pretty much what he said. which is right. So the Green Energy Group, the way it's written here, the title is Overlooked, the Green Energy Waste Overlooked in the Climate Agenda. I'm not so sure overlooked is the right word, because they have to know it, they just don't want to deal with it. Begins with a question. Where do the mountains of broken solar panels and wind turbine blades end up? In this article in Epoch, it says the amount of waste piling up from solar panels, wind turbine blades can be measured in tons, and it's just starting. Almost all spent solar panels in the U.S. end up in landfills, and many first and second generation panels are already tapping out, well ahead of their anticipated 30-year lifespan. They say you add to that an estimated 9.8 million metric tons of dead solar panels to deal with between 2030 and 2060, and that's according to a study published in Science Direct. They say tossing a solar panel into a U.S. landfill currently costs about a dollar, maybe two, but to do that same recycle of a panel in the future could go up to $20 to $30 for each panel. That's according to PV Magazine. And then wind turbine parts, the thousands of blades already are in dumps in fields in Texas, Wyoming, South Dakota, and Iowa. And they point out that these, keep in mind these wind turbine blades, the length of one can be 200 feet or longer. You want a comparison? Think of a Boeing 747. That's kind of the wingspan of a Boeing 747. Offshore wind rigs are even larger. And currently about 7,000 blades are scrapped each year, according to Carbon Rivers, a Tennessee-based recycling center for advanced materials. And there's one area they had a picture of near Sweetwater, Texas, near a cemetery in Sweetwater. Now, I'm a Texan, and I know where Sweetwater is. You can look it up, but let me tell you this. They now might be on the map, even visible from space, because they have all these discarded wind turbine blades laying out next to a cemetery in Sweetwater, Texas. And speaking about these wind turbine blades, one of the officers of Carbon Rivers, as they try to go through recycling and dealing with them, they said they're difficult. They're hardy, robust material, large, cumbersome. You can try to convert them into clean, high-quality glass fiber that may be available for your next car, boat, or turbine blade, but it's not going to be really a good idea. It's going to be too difficult. He said the circular economy would be a business model that prioritizes reuse, repair, regeneration of materials, continued production in a way as sustainable as possible. He said, but right now you largely have landfill wind blades, depending on the state. But the industry continues to expand. Solar generation capacity, according to the Energy Information Administration, that's a government agency, is expected to increase by more than 38% in this year. 38% more in this year. Now, you get to these solar panels that supposedly have a lifespan of 30 years, but they're falling way short. And they're talking about, according to a California-based environmental group, if solar and nuclear produce the same amount of electricity over the next 25 years that nuclear produced in 2016, just that year, the waste are stacked on football fields, the nuclear waste would reach the height of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. The solar waste would reach the height of two Mount Everest. They're looking at trying to get rid of 9,000 per year over the next 5 years. And then they also have these EV batteries for your car, if you're going to be pushed into an EV car. One analyst had predicted that 53 million tons of e-waste produced globally, about 17% was recycled. One vice president of this recycling company said, people think plastic is a waste boogeyman. E-waste is still growing. He said, trying to break it down, damn near impossible. He says, not just an environmental issue, it becomes a human rights issue and a cybersecurity issue. Because in the early days of e-waste disposal, companies that were negligent left the door wide open to data theft. You ever took a computer, maybe your company did, take it to one of these places where they say they'll recycle them? You don't know what happens to that. You're just glad to have it out of the office and be done with it. But somebody could be digging into it, looking up information, either about your company or about you personally. It says, again, when we were trying to deal with some of these batteries, these EV batteries, we were finding that we got to find something else. He said transparency has been an issue with companies claiming to recycle e-waste in years past. He said the most important part is transparency. He said when we started, we were mounting cameras on our ceilings. Nothing goes to landfill when we work on it. That's their claim. But he also pointed out, or in this Epoch Times article, I should say, that recycling dead solar panels, EV batteries, wind turbine parts are just part of the issue. They have metals recycled from electric car batteries in Costa Rica. They say, we buy pretty much from anyone and everyone. There's enormous demand. So they're taking these EV batteries and they're trying to do what they can to break them down and then use them in some other fashion. But they also point out these batteries are hazardous material, which obviously you would know. So one recycler says you can't put that into landfills. So send it to Costa Rica. Let them deal with it. What if they decide to start just dumping it in the ocean? And then the EV batteries, and the lithium-based batteries are a lot more complex. They can start fires impossible to extinguish through traditional methods. One of these rent-a-scooters that you can get on a ride caught fire in New York City. Before they could get control of it, four people were killed because of that fire from that little motor run scooter that you can pick up on the street and ride somewhere and then leave it, and you're charged for the use of it. So all these folks that are pushing green, 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 they're either ignoring or don't want to discuss what happens when you have to replace these things. What do we do then? Oh, we're not going to worry about that. And as I said, there are a lot of folks, no doubt, making a lot of money on the side, pushing this issue on a constant basis. You got to go green, man. You got to go green. When the elite and the rich get rid of their jets and all of their gas vehicles and everything in their house or on their person that came from a fossil fuel product in some process or another, when they do that and they're walking around naked because they can't fly or drive anywhere, they got nothing that isn't some base of fossil fuel, then I'll believe they're serious. Till then, don't even bother me anymore about it. All right, so on another subject, very important subject, abortion, the latest focus, the state of Florida. It's happened in Florida now. They have a ballot measure aimed at protecting abortion rights of the state, getting enough signatures to qualify for the 2024 ballot. The Florida Department of Education released that word today. They needed 890,000 signatures. They have 910,000 all verified.
They got enough signatures in 17 of Florida's 28 counties. They only needed 14. Now it's going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which must rule on the wording for the November ballot. Hearing set for the 7th of next month. Florida, of course, is against it. Florida has one of the more stricter abortion bans. In fact, I think has now the strict abortion ban for the nation. 15 weeks. No abortion after 15 weeks. That's under review by the state Supreme Court. We also have abortion rights ballot issues. Going to be a major part of the 2024 election anyway. South Dakota, Arizona, Missouri pushing measures. Ohio passed an abortion rights ballot measure back in November. So we have, again, more coming forward to, we want the right to be able to kill a baby. No, Larry, it's the right for a woman to make her choice. Well, let me talk to that woman and ask her, if your mother had aborted you, would you be here to even have this discussion? You know the answer. And they want to claim that those fighting to protect babies are the extremists? Now, I do say that if you're going to tell women you're going to have the child, you cannot go get the abortion, then you need to make for arrangements in case she's not capable of caring for the child, either physically and or fiscally. You got to help. You got to provide some opportunities. And there are many groups that come forward, or at least they will help the child be adopted by someone else. We have all of these displays on the TV everywhere you turn. Go and spay and neuter your pet. And then also, don't just go buy a pet from a pet store or a pet breeder. Go and rescue a stray. Could we consider rescuing a baby? All right, I'd mentioned to you in the beginning of this segment, I had come across a movie. I thought it was new. I've done some research on it since. I find out it really came out in 2023. Fairly new. But I thought it had just come out the beginning of January. It actually was released back in October of 2023. It started streaming on Netflix in December 8th of last year. Positive reviews generally. My question to you is, have you seen it? Well, Larry, what's the name of it? Oh, that's right. You do need that. Leave the World Behind. Wouldn't you've seen it? I didn't see it for a while because it looked kind of goofy. I didn't know. And then I saw that Julia Roberts was in it. Well, okay, I'll watch that. But Julia's a little older, as we all are, a little bit different. And the character she plays in that, it's back to some of the discussions we were having earlier about racism. She won't say it directly, but some of her actions certainly portray an underlying racist attitude. But Leave the World Behind is basically she plans a trip for her family, her husband, daughter, and son, a weekend at the beach in a kind of an R&B, but a very fancy place. And while they're there, the world begins to come undone. I'm not going to get into more specifics than that, but it's pretty suspenseful. Migration patterns of animals and birds change. Navigation systems on planes and ships won't work, and on self-driving cars. And there's more. Take a look at it. Let me know what you think. Leave the World Behind. But always remember, Larry Connors, USA. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.